Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
The only true and living God, and beside him there is none other. God, we give you the glory. Come on, you ought to give God the glory. Come on, you ought to give God the glory. Come on. Open up your mouth and give God the glory. God, we give you the honor. Come on, you ought to give him the honor. You ought to give God the honor. Let him know that you honor him. And God, we give you the praise. Come on, with the fruit of your lips, you ought to give God some praise. Come on. Because he is worthy of every name that has been ascribed to him. He's worthy of every name. Righteous one, come on, he's worthy of it. The Holy One of Israel, he's worthy of it. The true and living God, he's worthy of it. The faithful and true God, he's worthy of it. Come on. The great I am, he's worthy of it. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The omnipotent one, he's worthy of it. Yes, he is. Our God, our God, our God, our God. Hallelujah. To God be all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in Jesus' name. We thank you. Father, we invite your spirit even now, God, into this place, God. As we break open your word, we ask, God, by your spirit, bring forth revelation, knowledge, and understanding, enlightenment, God. Cause our ears to be open, God, to be dug out, that we would hear what the spirit of the Lord would express to us even now as your church, God. Let it be rooted in our hearts, God, that we will make application of what has been spoken to us, God. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 14. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 14, starting at verse number 1. Amen. Ezekiel, chapter number 14, starting at verse number 1. It's on the screen, so catch up with me. It says, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, would answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may make or take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me and set up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." You can be seated in the presence of the living God. Amen. And the title that we're working with on today is called Because of My Idols. Because of My Idols. Because of My Idols. One thing we know, when you look at our culture today, our culture has greatly diminished the value of truth. Truth isn't what it used to be. Although truth, absolute truth, hasn't changed, we people have tried to change the value of truth. For example, what used to be right is no longer right. What used to be black is no longer black. And what used to be white is no longer white. We now have a gray area. What was up is no longer up, is now down. And what used to be down, we can now consider that to be up. Truth used to be, there was something that the Bible talks about, knowing the truth in your inward parts. Truth used to be your genitalia spoke to who you were. But because we've diminished the value of truth, you can change or have someone change that. Because of the true you, You don't necessarily like it. You don't feel like you're the true you. We've diminished the value of truth. Culture just isn't the same. And so when we dig into this book of Ezekiel here, Ezekiel, he's a priest prophet. He's a priest, but he's also a prophet. And he's been tasked with speaking to the people of Israel or Judah per se. While they have been taken captive in exile, I'm talking about their prisoners of Babylon, but he's been tasked with speaking and prophesying. Although we've been taken hostage, although we've been captured, where everybody else is a surrendering to the culture, for me as the preacher, for me as the priest, for me as the prophet, what do I do? Keep preaching, preacher. Oh, I gotta keep prophesying. Although everybody around me has bowed down, there is someone still has to stand and declare what thus saith the Lord. Truth still matters. Thank you for that one clap of praise right there. I'm going to say it again. Truth still matters. I don't know what type of value you placed on truth, but guess what? I understand without the truth, I can't be free. Without the truth, I will not know who I am. Without the truth, I will not know what I'm called to do. Without truth. Truth still matters. And so this prophet who's been tasked, although he's been taken captive alongside his countrymen, he's been tasked with prophesying and speaking what thus saith the Lord. And this is what we got to understand. It's part of the nation. Yeah, remember, there was this split between the nation of Israel. Israel was known as the northern kingdom. Judah was known as the southern kingdom. Ezekiel came from Judah, the southern kingdom. While his counterpart, Jeremiah, that's my prophet right there, was prophesying in the north at the same time, talking about the destruction that was going to come to the land. But here you see in the book of Ezekiel, God in all of his mercy, God in all of his compassion, rather than calling them Judah, he still calls them Israel. There is still hope. Yeah, although you have rebelled, although you got idols, although you got idol worship, yes, I still know who I called you to be. Now, it would be something fun if God starts, because we do understand there are portions at times God speaks to Judah directly and God speaks to Israel directly. But he's saying, Israel, I know who I've called you to be, and I haven't changed that. And so being tasked with this, he was a prophet out of the three major prophets. Now, we understand the three major prophets, they oftentimes note as the three major prophets, that being Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Right? Out of these three major prophets, he was the prophet that was tasked. He had to do things some of the other prophets didn't have to do. He had to act out prophetic words. When God would speak a word to him, this man was a one-man act crew. Acting out the word of God, giving the symbolism through his own life of what God was speaking on behalf of the people. See, it wasn't just the difficult part of speaking what thus saith the Lord, but it became even more difficult before him because he now had to speak it, then act it out. Not, hey, can you help me act this out? I need this particular prop. His body was the prop. You remember the Lord told him, you strip butt naked, go in the center of the city. Strip butt naked. Lay on your side for a certain amount of time. And when that time comes to an end, flip over on your other side. Tasked with prophesying while being captive. But also having to perform or act it out. Speaking the judgments of God. And one of the things, one of the common threads throughout the book of Ezekiel, you hear him say in verse number 8, that they will know that I am the Lord God. That was a common thread throughout his book that he would speak. That they will know that I am the Lord God.
acting out prophetic words so that they would know that I am the Lord God. Having to speak difficult, hard prophetic words that they would know that I am the Lord God. Before we dive into this, give me Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. Good old Jeremiah. Jeremy. Where is he at? Drill Sergeant at. Good old Jeremiah, Jeremy. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above your lying tongue. The heart is deceitful above your creative mind. All the vain imaginations that we conjure up, all the fantasies that we play out in our head, it's saying, guess what? Your heart is deceitful above all of that right there. And we've been talking about dealing with the whore that is where in your heart. And we end up talking about some days the whore is actually your heart. And we found out, according to a Jewish custom, that the heart, it controls the inside. Better yet, it controls the house, or the inside life, we'll say. So he's saying the heart, or this inside life, is a deceitful above all things. So the life you live on the inside is deceitful. Deceit, synonymous with lying. The life you live on the inside is a lie. And if the life you live on the inside, then how much more shall the life on the outside that you live be more than what? A lie. Because it starts with the heart. Not only is it deceitful and above all things, it is desperately wicked. You said, I apologize. What are you really apologizing for? Because you like what you did to them, how it made you feel. Most of us just apologize because we understand what we did was actually wrong. I shouldn't have did that. But I'm not apologizing because of how it made me feel. No, I'm glad you hurt. You were hurt by what I did. I'm glad. See, we're not going to tell that truth. Right? And the reality, you know what I found out lately as I've been studying? There were some people who would never experience deliverance the way they need to or the way God has planned it because they are unwilling to deal with truth. And like we said, truth still matters. What is the value? What is the emphasis that you have placed on truth? We're not talking about relative truth. We're talking about the truth of God's word, absolute truth. We're not talking about that truth that has holes and gaps in it. We're talking about the pure, unadulterated, uncompromising, unapologetic truth of God. What value have you placed on the word of God? Just like these children came and acted out. I'm an attention whore. I'm a social media whore. I'm a sex whore. You understand? I'm a phone whore. I'm a depressed whore. All these different whores, they acted out. Guess what? Where was the value on truth? They had their own understanding of what truth was to them. So I pose this question to you. What value have you placed upon truth? Does truth still matter to you? Because if we're going to be free, it's going to start with your heart. It talks about, this is the thing that controls the inside life. The place where decisions are made. The center of your emotions starts with your heart. If we can get truth in your heart. See, that's why, see, you know, me and Pastor Ivan and Pastor Terrence, we were just having a conversation back there about anger and how some of us, we hold on to these spirits because guess what? These spirits give us a sense of identity and it keeps people at a distance, anger in particular, because guess what? I don't want you to know the reality of my heart. I don't want you to see the wickedness of my heart. I don't want you to see the deceit of my heart. So I'm going to keep you at a distance. I'm going to only deal with you at a distance. You can only get so close. Well, the reality, you're showing us that you have not placed a real value on truth. Truth still matters. Yes, my heart is deceitful, but I need truth. Yes, my heart is wicked, but I need truth. In order for my heart to be delivered, I must receive the truth of the living God. And you know what I found out about God? There are some days God intentionally offends us. You don't like that truth. There are some days God intentionally offends you. He offends your thought process, how you perceive things. Oh, yes, he does. You know why God offends your thought process, messes with how you view things and interpret things? Because it's going to reveal your heart. Oh, yes. He offends your thought process to reveal where your heart is, to reveal what the inside is really looks like. Because you keep telling folk, nah, I ain't that mad. So God will come and offend your thought process about the situation that we keep saying you upset about. And you like, nah, I ain't mad. You the only one mad. Da, 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 da. No, he's revealing your heart. I said, you keep telling me to move on. I can't move on because you haven't given me closure to move on. You keep telling my son, well, I'm done with it. It's over. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. It don't even bother me. It is what it is. No, that's how you feel. That is not how I feel. So how you going to tell me to keep moving on? See, God is using me to offend your thought process. You want to just slide on by. No, we got to deal with the truth. What are you really upset about? That you keep talking about. Well, I ain't mad. Lie. You said in this desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? It's what God is expressing. Who can know it? To Ezekiel, right? It comes to the heart as a matter of the heart. And so the Bible says, what? Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, as these men, these are prominent people, people of power, people of prestige, people who hold positions, people who have influence. As one of the teenagers talked about, I'm an influencing whore. Men of influence. Men who are known. But yet they came to the prophet. Now understand, they are in captive. In exile. Been captured by Babylon. But yet they're coming to the prophet. And it says what? They came and they sat before me. The sitting position denotes a teaching or a learning position. Ezekiel is symbolic for truth. I'm coming to sit before truth to learn. But the reality, my heart is already made up. I don't want no truth. I just want to know what God is going to do. So I know how to respond, how to react, what I need to do in order not to be judged. I don't want truth. That truth is going to force me to change. I just need to know what I need to do not to come under the judgment of God. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? Well, you sought out instruction, sought out direction because you didn't want the judgment of God. I know I ain't talking. I know I'm not by myself. Well, no. How can I avoid being judged by God? But I don't want to have to change, but I still don't want to be judged by God. I don't want to have to change my heart. I don't want to have to stop fornicating. I don't want to have to stop lying. I don't want to have to stop being a rebel, but I'm trying to avoid being judged by God. How do I avoid being judged but still remain the same? No, this troop is coming to deal with you. Your heart. He said they came. The elders of Israel, right? And I began to write down certain names, right? We know Ezekiel, his name means God strengthens. God strengthened him. So make your head, make your face like flint because you're dealing with a stiff neck, hard head, rebellious people. Or people that are unwilling to move even when hard truth comes. But I got to make you just as rigid not to bend, not to bow, not to be afraid when these people are unwilling to change. Meaning you must still declare what thus saith the Lord, whether they change or not. Because what cannot change is the speaking of my word. Israel. Israel. The name Israel is defined in the Hebrew culture as God prevails. How is God prevailing when we're in captivity? But God has been warning you. It's because of your idol worship. It's because of you going astray that destruction is getting ready to come upon you. How is it God prevails when we in captivity? Or his name Israel is also defined as he will rule as God. And I like to believe even though we're in captivity, God is a God of sovereignty. And one thing that Ezekiel is prophesying too is that it doesn't matter what has transpired, doesn't matter what has happened, God is still in control. Even though he's allowed us to be caught captive, he is still in control. And see, the thing is, we can lose sight that though we have been captive, but God is still speaking. We'll lose sight that God is still speaking to us. Because we're captive. We don't have our precious temple to go and worship at anymore. We don't have our lands to go and graze and our cattle that we can farm. We've lost everything. We no longer have our precious Israel. We've been taken away. Israel and our temple have been destroyed. It's been burned to the ground. Keep that in mind. Israel and our temple has been burned to the ground. It has been destroyed. Right? So Israel is defined as God prevails, or he will rule as God. And as these elders, these prominent people come, right? They come sitting in a posture that denotes learning, but don't want to learn anything. And how many times have we been guilty of that same mindset, those same actions? I'm talking about come to church where the word of God is coming forth, where there is a teaching anointing upon people, or there is an anointing to proclaim the word of God, and we walk away not taking anything from what God has spoken to us. I just went to church because somebody invited me. I just went to church because I was feeling bad. I just went to church because I wanted to do something different. And there were some of us, we know God is real. We've been taught from a child God is real. You got a blessing, so you wanted to come to church to pay your respect to God for God blessing you. I just came to church because, hey, man, I just want to let God know, man, I'm so glad he did what he did. Thank you, Lord. Boom, 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 bam, and you, that's it. But what truth did you take away? What truth did you leave with? What truth did you receive? What truth did you accept? That's my thing. We hear a lot of truth, and there's some truths we're just unwilling to accept. Like the truth is, like Jeremiah told us, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. For some of us, you don't want to hear that you're a wicked individual. It's hard to hear that about yourself. Me? Wicked? No. Dare we say that you got the little people on the inside of you? When I say little people, I'm talking about demons. They don't talk about demons no more, but we're a church that still talk about demons. Dare I say you got demons on the inside? You I ain't got no demons on there. That's one talking right now. That's not you. The fact that you, that the fact that that devil is telling you, you don't have no devil, that's a demon talking right there. So dare we say that? That's not a truth that I'm willing to accept. I've been there. My pastor was telling me, you got devils. And now I was saved. Saved, y'all. He said, you got devils. And you know what's even crazier? God would use me at the altar to help get other people free. He would bypass my little demons to help get somebody else free. Because he saw that I had compassion and I really wanted people to be free. But all the while, I didn't believe I had no little devils on the inside of me. Oh, but there was a day that I had a reckoning with truth. Oh, yes, I had a reckoning with truth, and truth rolled me on the floor. And truth said, I command you to come out. He said, be free, because whom the Son says, y'all ain't gonna help me preach right there. I thank God for the paraclete. I thank God for the comforter. I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because he's gonna be my help. When you don't want to help, when you want to act all stuck up and act like you too good and act like you don't know what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about being demonically possessed. Oh, but I'm so glad that my God has set me free. I'm so glad he didn't just break chains, but I'm so glad every demon force that was on the inside, he commanded it to come forth and be expelled. And now my body, it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I say, Holy Ghost, stretch yourself out. Holy Ghost, have your way. My body, God, it is for your purpose, God. Be magnified, God. Be glorified, God. Be used, God. Be honored, God. Get the glory, God. Let me be used by you, God. How many days you came, sat in the learning posture, but yet you refuse to learn? You refuse to receive. You refuse to accept the truth. It shows your value about truth. But I'm here to tell you that truth still matters. The prophet was symbolic of the truth. Here you come sitting at the feet of truth, and you don't get to determine what truth is going to come for. Now, you do have a choice of what truth you're going to accept, but you don't get to determine what truth is going to come for. Oh, and the truth of the matter is, baby, some of y'all are wicked down in your core like a rotten apple. You that wicked, you that proud, you that perverted, you that lustful, you that rebellious. Yes, you are. And the issue, it starts with your wicked heart. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, I do. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, is what the prophet is saying. While these tricksters, these hypocrites, actors on it. Oh, we back to that word. We're talking about dealing with the whore in your heart. Oh, yeah, you got to understand. Hypocrites, whores are actors. They know how to be who you want them to be. They know how to perform tricks that you want performed. They know how to be what you need them to be in the moment while never committing to anything. But their money, they have not made no real commitment to you. You felt some type of way, but guess what? Even though they made you feel good, there was no real commitment. What a deception. If you ever thought there was a real commitment, if you ever thought they cared about you, no, they cared about their bottom dollar. That was Benjamin, and that was Abe, and that was George, and that was Andrew. They cared about their bottom dollar. They didn't really care about you. All they cared about whether or not you were going to have the funds to pay them. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. The heart that controls the inside life is controlled by an idol. What are we talking about? Idols. Anything that consumes your time. Anything that has your total devotion. Anything that is consuming your energy. Anything that takes up your money. Oh, there was an idol, and the Bible says they set it up themselves in their heart. Oh, and the reality is, most of us, you have set up an idol down on the inside of your desperate, wicked heart. Yes, you have. I don't know what your idol is. It may be some type of model life you want to live, and you have not got there yet. But guess what? Just the idea, just the thought, just the imagination, just the fantasy of living a certain life, or having a certain man, or having a certain woman, having a certain amount of money, having a level of influence and prestige. Baby, it is an idol that you have set up, you have put it up, erected up, caused this thing to dwell in a high place in your heart. These men have set up their idols in their heart. Now, we told you the heart is what controls the inside life or the house of family. And the heart is the thing that is corrupted first. Idol worship has caused the heart to be corrupted. This false worship. All I think about is this thing. I imagine this thing. I go to bed thinking about this thing. I dream about this thing. I wake up thinking about this thing. When I'm talking to my friends, I'm talking about this thing. When I'm on social media, I'm making comments about this thing. Anytime I see anything making reference to this thing, I comment, I like. You understand? It's an idol that I've set up in my heart. So the man of God, he's symbolic of the truth. What happens when you have to sit directly in front of truth? Most of us, we're afraid to sit next to truth. That's why you don't find, it's not unfamiliar. Folk want to think it's unfamiliar being close to the pastor. Because when you go into Jewish culture, everybody worshiped together. Everybody lived in close proximity around the temple. Oh, now society's put it in your head. We got to go live way out here. So you can have every excuse not to come and fellowship. It's foolishness. Biblical culture, everybody lived amongst themselves around the proximity of the temple. That when they saw Moses entering the temple doors, every man stood at the temple door of his own tent and watched when the man of God would enter into the temple. And when they saw the man of God enter in and lay on his face, they would proceed to follow and lay on their face. When the leader worships, we shall follow and worship. How you gonna learn what to do when you so far away? How you gonna learn what to do when you so afraid that I don't know what they're gonna see about me? So what? You ought to be happy somebody see what you don't see. Letting your heart keep lying to you that you okay. The devil is a 110% lie. You're not okay. Keep lying to yourself. Keep playing that game with yourself that you okay. You know you're not okay. If you okay, then why you got 15 bags under your eyes? You so okay, but you can't sleep. Y'all not gonna talk to me. You okay, but you can't rest. You sleeping, but I ain't got no rest at all. You went to bed early and still woke up exhausted and tired. Oh yeah, there is no satisfaction in what you do. There is no satisfaction in what you eat. I'm talking about your favorite dishes. They ain't bring you no satisfaction no more. And you just had to feel like, you know what, man? I just don't know what's wrong, man. Something is wrong. I just can't put my finger. I just can't figure it out. You are not okay is what's wrong. And you lied to yourself. Everybody ask you, how you doing? I'm good. I'm okay. Stop lying. The truth is, you know what? I'm so disgusted at my life right now. But don't nobody want to say that. I'm so fed up with my raggedy life right now. Because I thought by this age right here, I would have been right here. I would have been somebody. I would have had such and such. Listen, I had a plan. I knew exactly how it was going to be. But guess what? The truth of the matter is how I planned and drew this thing out, it ain't happened. Not one thing has happened. And I'm fed up because I'm getting older. Well, don't nobody want to talk about that, how Father Time is right up on your heels. And I'm getting older. Oh, when I see them little gray hair, somebody go get me them tweezers. I don't want a reminder that I've crossed over 40. I ain't there yet. God's still working with me. Whoa, I be still running, doing flips in my house. I just come up the stairs and just run full speed in my room, just swan dive. My wife be like, what are you doing? Child, I'm trying to stay young. Swan dive. I messed around and did a little front flip in the living room on the floor. And my kids, you know, she kind of is notorious. I can't stand her some day. Notorious. She be trying to see if I get up hurt. Right. She already be laughing. Like, she know I'm about to do something crazy. So she be like, that's her look right there. But she be urging me on with that little look like, you can't do it. Do it, daddy. Do it, daddy. Do it, daddy. So you know me, I feed right into it. And I just go. And I be like, I shouldn't have did that. Shouldn't have did that, right? You know, she just be laughing like, daddy, you're not 15 no more. Shut up, Shekinah. that's what I, that means some of our comments. Shut up. I'm still young. You better get out of here. Like, get out of here. But the truth is, truth still matters. No, Lincoln, you've crossed over 40. Hey, I tried to play basketball not too long ago, and I forgot I crossed over 40. My mom was still back when I was about 15, 20, around that age, right? Well, you never have to stretch. So I just completely didn't stretch. And it was an older dude. You know he's older than me. I mean, he's just gray all up in here. But he running up and down the court, but no problem. I said, this ain't this bother. This don't look so enough crazy. My first trip down the court, I was like, I started cheating. Because they put Josiah, J. Rose, on me. So he wants to prove to me that he's stronger than me, right? So he wants to try to body me up, and I'm like, all right. I say, son, you got to understand, basketball is 90% mental, 10% physical. So all that little stuff, I'm going to spin off of you real quick and just go. So I kept hitting them little cuts on it. He like, he's trying to keep up and all this stuff, right? Because you got to teach him some stuff, right? I still got some tricks, but I started cheating. Because I couldn't keep up with that youth, that woman. This youth started blowing by me. So I was holding his shirt like, come here. You know what I mean? Like, you got to do little old school little tricks to the tray. Nah. He get mad like, nah, let me go. Who holding you? Bro, who's holding you? Pastor Lincoln. Nah, my name is Lincoln. Man, who holding you? So, you know. And I messed around and got caught on a switch with Eugene. So I'm having to guard Eugene. Which wasn't a problem. I just forgot how old I was. And so I got down in that real good Duke stance to all my dirty feet haters. I got down in that real good Duke man-to-man defense stance like, yeah. You know, me and Eugene both Duke dudes. So, you know, I got down real good like, yeah, where you gonna go? And so, you know, he had this real high, slow dribble, just boom. And so I'm timing it. When this thing come up, lunge, Lincoln, lunge. That's it. It's gonna be yours. And y'all, the ball came up. I lunged, but I was stuck. I said, oh, what in the world? This is what happened. I was like, slipped my foot. I was like, what in the world? Just, is that my hip? Y'all, that thing hurts up. I was like, I said, yo, time out, man. But we running full court. Ain't nobody to take my place. I don't time out, bro. The older dude looking like. I said, I don't care. Hey. Then I go to the side. Time out, bro. Eugene, he busts out laughing because he actually think he just done juke me. So no, it was not that, bro. Father Time held me. That's what really happened. I went to steal, and Father Time grabbed me and was like, hey, you better remember how old you are, player. And I couldn't come back up. I was like, oh, what in the Father just happened? Yeah, Father Time, he's undefeated. Go ask Michael Jordan, ask Kobe, ask all the greats. He's undefeated. He catches all of them. Pretty soon, you can't jump as high. I try. We were playing with the men one day. Pastor Ivan had this exercise with the men. After we had our teaching and stuff, he had this exercise, shooting basketball. Say, okay, listen, every time you miss, you got to confess something good about you. So in other words, if I miss, I had to confess, you know what, I'm a good husband. If I miss, I'm a good man to God. If I miss, I'm a good brother. So you get the idea, right? I missed a lot of times, y'all. And I'm saying, you know, but I wasn't by myself. I had a lot of other men who missed too. Right? Now, while the line was coming back around to me, we off on the other goal shooting. I thought, oh, I want to just see how high can I get up. Because at one point, y'all, I used to dunk. Can't dunk no more. But I wanted to see. You know, every now and then, y'all know what I'm saying. You try to relive your glory days. Amen. Like, you just, it's just hard for you to move on and just let it go. Like, bruh, you passed your prime. Let it go. That's like me. I'd be praying, God, please, please keep all of my hair. Because if my hair started losing right here, God, I'm wearing a hat every day to church. I'm going to give you the image that I still got hair. You're going to see all of this right here.
The reality, bro, go ahead and let that go. You know what I'm saying? So the point I'm making is there are some things you just don't want to let go. I didn't want to let go of that. So I tried, y'all. I ran with full speed as fast as I can get. It's, you know, I still got 4.3 speed at over 40. I do. And just in short bursts, though. Just from bright, this orange line to that dark blue line right there. That's about it. That's about all I can give you, 4.3, that and that distance right there. If I go this line, it's a wrap. I'm going to lose. So if the finish line is at that orange line, but this is the start line, if we have to go, I'm going to lose. But if we have to go right from this one to that door, I got you every single time. You better come off that line quicker than me, because if you don't, I got you. Right? So I ran with all the speed that I had. Got the ball. They had a little girl-sized ball in here, one that I can easily pump because my hands are not that big as a man. I don't even know why I'm on this, but hey, we're here. I pumped the ball, ran with full speed, and it was like, what in the fuck? I don't even think I touched the nets. I said, oh, you, bro, it's over. It's over. I was, you know, the man was like, yo, we need to go get in the basketball league. We need to get back in shape and play basketball. Yeah. I'm all for that, right? But I said, I saw the truth. Truth matters. Lincoln, you don't have it anymore. It's okay. You can't drive around folk no more. You quit, but listen, if you're at the three-point line, and you're trying to go around somebody, listen, by the time you get the free throw, it's over. You got to develop something, so I got to develop a jumper. What I'm saying is, y'all, there's some things that we don't want to let go of. But when you come face to face with truth, truth will show you what it really is. Bro, your skill set is not what it used to be. Just, it's okay. It's okay if it's not what it used to be. And see, the reality is some of us are not okay that it's not what it used to be. You are not who you used to be. Things are not what you wanted them to be. Or they're no longer what they used to be. You got to be. Paul said, I know how to be content. Whether I'm abound or whether I'm abased. Whether I'm living high, I know how to be okay. Or whether when things are not looking that good and feeling that going, I still know how to be okay. Because I'm not moved by situations, but I'm moved by the true and living God. He's the only one that moves me. Life itself can't move me. The people that are in my life, whether they stay or go, they can't move me. Because I'm moved by the Spirit of God. He said they've set up idols in their heart and put stumbling blocks. A twisted thinking. And in Hebraic culture, the heart and the mind can be used interchangeably. The heart and the mind can be used interchangeably. You can make decisions with your mind, but you can also make decisions with your heart. So the mind, whether it be the actual mind, the literal physical mind, or whether it be the heart, it has been twisted. It has become perverted. And it's become a stumbling block. Before their face denoting their presence. This thing that keeps tripping you up is close. It's always in your presence because you set it up. We keep asking God, why you keep letting me fall, God? Why you not intervening, God? Why you not helping me? Because you did this to yourself. You put this idol in your heart. You worship this false God. You worship this image. You worship this dream. You worship this imagination. You worship this fantasy. You worship this lifestyle. You worship this choice. You worship this woman. You worship this man. And for some of y'all, you worship that baby. It's an idol in your heart, and it's causing you to stumble. You chase that. You adore that. You're devoted to that. You're fully committed to that than you are to the living God. And it's causing you to stumble. And you find yourself keep tripping. Close to truth. But can't get close enough for truth to put your hands on truth. Or matter of fact, can't get close enough for truth to put his hands on you. The only thing I can do is just sit across from truth. Never can grab out and reach hold and grab truth so that I can experience the liberty that God wants me to have. Why? Because there is an idol between me and truth. Or there is something that is between you and God. No, God, he's the Lord. The Bible declares that he's the Lord of hosts, meaning he's the God that fights for you.
But you almost make God feel like he's losing a battle. Because if choice is the most powerful thing that God has given you, you keep choosing your idol. As powerful as God is, God, he's not going to work against your choice, though. He's not going to override your choice, meaning your free will. But yet he's still fighting for you. When you wake up, I don't want you today, God. But he's still fighting. Do you know somebody? Can you believe you haven't chose God every day? There's some days you didn't want anything to do with God. Why? Because it proves that your heart is not submitted to God. Your heart has not come under the authority of God. Your heart has not come under the authority of the people that God has placed in your life. You have a submission problem. You have not come under the mission that God has placed in your life, the purpose that God has placed in your life. You don't like it because it doesn't fit in your plan. Because guess what? The purpose of God would tell you to get rid of this friend, get rid of this friend. The purpose of God would tell you, you know what? You got to leave this city, everything that you love about this city, New York. You got to leave all of that. New Jersey, leave all of that. The FLA, leave all of that. Yeah, and move here. My purpose for you is here. And we don't like that. Because you thought this was the man for you. But when truth came, truth starts showing you who the man really is. And God is saying, that's not my choice. But I love him, God. Okay. You can love him, but let's see if your love changes him. Because see, we deceive ourselves thinking that, well, he loves me and I love him and he's going to change. Oh, but if you could go and talk to some of the older women, if you could go and talk to some of the older men, and they really had to tell you the nitty gritty about your granddaddy, and they had to tell you the nitty gritty about some of your uncles, and they had to tell you the truth about some of your sisters and your aunts, baby, you'll see. No, I don't care how much love, you're not going to change them. The only way that they're going to be changed is by the truth of God. Because with all the love that you get, why you not change? I'm talking about all the love that you want to deny that is not there. Why you not change? Stumbling blocks. And he say, should I be inquired of them at all? Should I be at all be inquired of them? Should I entertain their questions? Look at God. While the prophet is sitting before the company of these men, God touches him and says, listen, I want to let you know who you're really dealing with. These are men that have set up idols in their heart and they got stumbling blocks before they face. They say they want truth. They act like they want truth. But the reality is they don't want no truth. They don't want no liberty. They want to remain in their mess. Oh, who am I talking to there? Yeah, yeah. You act like you want liberty. You act like you want freedom, but you want to remain in your mess because as much as truth you get on a day-to-day basis, but yet you refuse to perform. You refuse to walk in this truth. You proven you don't want truth. You don't want no liberty. Because the reality, you're comfortable being bound. Remember, these men are bound. They're in captivity. Nebuchadnezzar is their king. He has allowed them to worship as they see fit. You can worship your God, but you ain't going to that temple. We burned that down. You will be free to worship your God, but you're not going to build no temple, not in our territory. But sure, you can worship your God. So now, although they're slaves, they're not slaves in the way we think. They just had to commit to be servants to him. Servants who steal, because the Bible let us know that Ezekiel had his own house. A slave. Got his own house. Last time I checked, go to the slave quarters. But he's a slave, but has his own house. He's a slave, but yet he's free to prophesy what thus saith the Lord. So slaves who had some liberty. Slave, but they got liberty. Right? How crazy is that? There were some of us, we are accustomed to this. You say you want liberty, you say you want freedom, but it's comfortable to abide in your mess. There's some of us, the door or the chains have been, I'm talking about taken off of you, and you refuse to walk away from your chains or refuse to step out of the prison cell. Because this is all you know. But God is trying to teach you another way of living, and you refuse, whether it be because of your fear, you refuse to want to live a different life. Give me the next one. He said, number what? He said, therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that set up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his faith and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. I'm going to deal with you according to the idols that you have. The many idols that you have and the particular idols that you have. That's how I would deal with the individual. He's telling the prophet, no prophet, where I was allowing you to speak on my behalf to my people, I'm going to speak now. And what God is saying, it's not that I'm about to speak a prophetic word to them. My speaking would be through my action. See, you don't realize the mercy while God is actually speaking in a verbal sense. This is his mercy. But when God say, listen, prophet, you sit down. I am going to speak as the Lord God myself. And remember, we told you one of the common threads throughout this theme is that they will know that I am the Lord God. Now I'm about to speak through my actions. He said, I, the Lord, will speak. And I will answer them that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Go to number five. He says what? That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. I'm going to speak through my actions. I'm going to do this because you didn't hear me speaking verbally through the prophet. But I'm going to do this. You still see the mercy, the compassion, the love of God. I'm going to do this so that I can win your heart back from the idols that you set up in your own heart. He said, why? Because they are all estranged from me. Right? And I begin to look at this word. It's strange that we're talking about, if I can find it. Okay. I'm going to look at this definition. It's about to call someone to be no longer involved or connected. To be estranged is about indifference. I don't care about God like I used to. I don't care about the things of God like I used to. I don't care about the worshiping of a God like I used to. I don't care about honoring God like I used to. I don't care if God speaks or not. I don't care. Doesn't bother me. Because guess what? I'm content with taking care of me. Seeing to me that I'm doing a better job of taking care of myself than God anyway. See, that's what that idol will have you believing and thinking. No, the reality, the Lord is saying, no, you are estranged. Y'all have heard the term. Estranged daughter, estranged sister, estranged son. You're no longer connected to God. Familiar with the forms of worship, it's just given to another being. Yeah, you still know how to raise your hands. Think about the different times you raise your hand. Your favorite team score a touchdown. That's what I'm talking. Yeah! You giving praise and all of that stuff, right? Your favorite song, secular song that is, comes on. Because we can't find y'all jumping around and dancing to gospel music. And the thing is, gospel has every genre. Every genre. And this is the thing, this is what's so crazy. For those of y'all that listen to the secular music, right? This is what's so crazy. How is it you ain't hearing anything new? They still ragging on women. Women are still bees and whores. Women are still video vixens. Nothing new. Dudes still talking about faking like they were so thugging in the streets. And then you come to find out, you do a Google search on it, they ain't never been no gang banging in their life. Well, talking about all the drug that they sold. All the whores that they had. Kind of find out that it was a virgin until they got money. Because money changed the way you look. You understand what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and tell the truth. Right? I ain't talking about nothing new. But you can't come over to this side. We can't run out of things to say about God. You're hearing the same thing in secular music. everything that's degrading, everything that's unholy, nothing that's encouraging. And then I know you got some people like, well, this just feel good music. How is it making you feel good? It's making you feel good to go do some type of sin. If you really examine what it's talking about, do you even know the mindset of the person that wrote the song? See, people are not going to be real about that. So what am I saying? I'm all but saying, well, let me say this. I'm really saying, listening to the secular music is a sin. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, that you're not supposed to have the counsel of the ungodly. Last time I checked, a song is composed of words and music. And when you really break down words, it's counsel. I know, but the reality, R. Kelly counseled most of us. I don't see nothing wrong. He counseled a lot of us. My mind's telling me no, but my body, he counseled a lot of us. Y'all not gonna tell the truth. Oh, he counseled most of us how to sin. Now, everything is being uncovered about him. Ain't nobody praying, but everybody's sin is just how perverted and how foul he really was. Yeah, he made good music, but he was counseling you to be a pervert. Ain't nobody gonna tell that truth. So when truth comes to you, what truth will you accept? And some of us don't want to hear that. No, it's gospel rap. We got boom, boom, boom if that's what you like. We got bass if that's what you like. Oh, and some of these gospel rap, I put them up against the best of them, the Jay-Z's, the Weezy's, all of that. And I'm telling them, they run circles around it, because guess what? On the secular side, you only got so many topics that you can talk about. Till you saying the same thing, just over a different beat. The same thing. And play it out. Man, you got to come better, man. But all the gospel rappers, everything they spitting. You could talk about one character of God, him being a father, him being a deliverer, and never run out of things to say. What truth are you interested in accepting will determine the value that you place on truth. Some of us, we are strange. You got to get back connected to God. And I'm not talking about just connecting to him because you want God to do something for you. That's called manipulation. And see, most of us, we're used to that. We just want folk to do something for us. You don't really want no connection with them. I just want what you can do for me. Don't want you, but what you can do for me. Go, I'm trying to get out your way. Go. He said, therefore say unto the house of Israel. Remember, he's calling them by name. This is Judah, but he said, no, Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, what? Repent. And turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. The stumbling block, the iniquity, he said, is it an abomination? Not to him, to you. We can't get away from the word repent, which talks about a turning away, right? But let me give you a little bit more. But repent, it talks about, this is what it's talking about in Hebrew culture. It means to destroy the house, leaving nothing to go back for. Repent means to destroy the house, leaving nothing to go back for. Remember I said, hang on to the point when I said how Babylon, they destroy all of Israel and their temple. Because I'm leaving nothing for you to be able to go back to. Meaning you're going to have to fully commit to us, Babylon, because you have nothing to return to. So now, the thing that I was accustomed to going to, it's no longer there. So I have no choice but to fully. This is what happened when they were destroying Israel and the temple. King Nebuchadnezzar understood, because the thing that you love, the thing that you need to live, if I destroy, you have nothing to go back to. Which leaves you in a position where you have to now fully commit to us. Some of us are so fully committed to sin, but what God is saying is, no, go destroy that house of sin. so you have nothing to go back to. And this is why some of us go back, because you never destroyed the house. So if things ever got tricky with God, I can go back here. Y'all know I'm talking, right? So that's the thing. They will fully commit themselves to their new life because they had nothing to go back to. He says what? Number 7, he says what? For every one of the house of Israel or the stranger that sojourned with Israel, which separated himself from me and set up his idols in his heart and put it the stumbling block of iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I'm explaining to you how God is saying he's going to answer. I'm going to answer by my actions. Because y'all know the phrase, actions speak louder than words. Because he's saying, when I had my prophet consistently talking to you, you didn't hear that. So what I'm about to do, you'll hear this though. Give us verse number 8, and he says what? And I will set my face against that man. So for the man or the woman that comes to my prophet, the truth giver, wanting to acquire about me, God, he's saying, I'm going to set my face against that man or that woman, meaning I'm going to oppose them. I, the Lord, am going to come against them. Have you ever thought about it? A lot of times when we have different things that are taking place in our life and we consider them to be, I don't want to say tragic, but not so good situations, we'll say bad things happening in our life. I'm telling you, I've heard sinners say, the devil is a lie. That's the truth you're speaking. The Bible says he's the father of lies. But the reality is not always the devil. It's for these so-called bad things that are happening in your life, it's not always the devil. You give the devil too much credit. Sometimes it is God opposing you, coming against you, because of the idols you set up in your heart. Meaning, when you set the idol up, you decided not to worship God, not to honor God, not to be committed, not to be devoted to God, but to be committed, devoted, honor, and worship this other thing, this other person. You chose it, him, her, them over God. And he has a problem with that. So if you come trying to seek truth from my man or woman servant, I am going to come against you myself. He's saying, and will make him a sign. When people see what happened to you after God saying, when I speak against you, your life will be a sign to others. That when God is releasing the word through his men and women servant, I better take heed then. He said, not just a sign, but a proverb. In other interpretation, proverb is interpreted as a byword. However you want to define byword, if we just listen to the word, a byword. Because all of us are nothing more than a word spoken from God. Byword. Oh, see, sometimes you got to just play on the words. All of us are nothing but a word spoken from the mouth of God. And when God himself comes against you, not only will your line be a sign, but he's saying, byword. Who you used to be? Bye-bye. Who everybody knew you as? Bye-bye. That money you thought you was going to have? Bye-bye. The folk that you thought was going to love on you? Bye-bye. That influence that you thought you had, influencer? Bye-bye. You can kiss all of that goodbye, because I'm going to make you a byword, a proverb. A proverb. You're going to be a wise saying. I got to get my life together because I don't want to end up like such and such. You have become a wise saying. People are getting their lives in order because your life was a sign and a wise saying. He said, and I will cut, not only am I going to make your life a sign and make you a byword, but I will cut him off from the midst of my people. No longer will I let you remain in the midst of my people, contaminating my people, influencing my people, causing my people to go astray. Because you refuse to remove and pull down and tear down the idols in your heart. See, God is saying, you know what? I got to take care of this. And what? What is the common thread? We see the common thread throughout the book of Ezekiel. Why? Because you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because somebody still don't believe he's God. Somebody still doesn't believe he's Lord, meaning he is in control. Lord denotes that he is sovereign. He is in control. I don't care who's in the White House. He is in control. I don't care what decisions he's made. God is still in control. Somebody don't believe it, though. The truth is, if you understood truth, that God is in control, then you wouldn't be scared. Now you got a bunch of Republicans talking about, you know what, I'm denouncing Republicans, I'm becoming a Democrat. It ain't about the party that you with. Because can't know, the last time I checked, not a party affiliation could save us. But it's the God that we talking about, we one nation under. We're no longer under him. We're a nation that has came from underneath, meaning we're no longer submitted to him. Submission means to come under the authority. We're no longer under the authority of God. We just say it because it sounds cute. But we're telling, take in God, we trust off of the money now. Pull everything that has to do with God out of our judicial system. Pull it down. Because the time is coming back around where men is going to do what is right in their own eyes. You see it happening in the laws that are being laid. Like in Florida, where I'm from, they got a stand your ground law. If I feel I'm being threatened and I got a gun on me, if you come at me, I got legal right to pull my gun out and bust a cap in you. And ain't about to serve a day in prison. It's called stand your ground. Black man just lost his life not too long ago. Older white man was freaking this gas station a lot. He got mad because the black man done rushed in and pulled in a handicapped spot. And he called himself policing the gas station. This ain't even your property. But because he had words to say to the black boy, you know, the black boy popped off like, hey, hey, and the black boy went and pushed him. Man fell down. The man politely pulled that gun off of his waist and put two in him, killing him right on the spot. First, they was going to let him go. But they just charged him with manslaughter now. Because the times are rolling back around where men are going to do what is right in their own eyes, like the Bible says. No longer leaning to the truth of God's word, but truth still matters. Truth still matters. So when somebody is telling you the truth, like we said, there are times that God intentionally offends your mindset because he's trying to reveal your heart to you. But when truth comes around, you better value truth. Because our culture has greatly diminished truth, made truth to be, we just walk on that, we spit on that, we crap on that. Nobody cares about truth. Somebody has to care because truth still matters, amen? He does. Truth is Jesus Christ. Come on. Put your hands together for the word in Jesus' name. Truth still matters.